Hi, my name is Moshe Kindler, and I'm the publisher of The Jewish Link.
Hi, this is Elizabeth Kratz. I'm editor of The Jewish Link.
And you're on The Jewish Link Pitch Meeting Podcast. We are here with The Jewish Link Pitch Meeting Podcast. We have three very, very special guests, guys here. We have Mikey Greenblatt, Ellie Leibowitz, and Ami Kozak, okay? They are J-Sketch, okay? And I just want to say Mazel Tov. Because I think Chana just off camera mentioned to me it's basically an anniversary since your first sketch, I guess.
So true.
So welcome, Mazel Tov. You know, you guys just want to hear a little bit about J-Sketch. To talk to me, or let's hear. You guys are pulling rank on with coffee, like you're the editor. So I didn't realize you guys had titles, but let's hear.
The apple juice wasn't available, so I...
Yeah. And actually, it's interesting. The timing is good for a podcast. We started a year ago our very first sketch. Ellie approached me. We met on the stand-up comedy scene doing comedy in New York City in like sort of the Jewish comedy world as well. I think it was an Elon Gold show that we were both on, and we got to talking afterwards about collaborating with Mikey and doing some Jewish sketch because there was a real shortage of authentic Jewish comedy out there, you know, that touches on real inside baseball parts of our world that people don't really joke about publicly. And the first thing, it was around Purim, and it felt like the right time to do something comedic. So we all brainstormed, and our first Purim sketch came out of that.
Can I just tell you guys, first of all, I love to laugh. I think everyone does. We'll talk about humor and timing, which is true, but I just got to tell you something. I'm still waiting for like a Haredi yeshivish comedian, someone who's fully into the Haredi yeshivish world. The reason why I mention that is because I think humor is really hard. Okay. Yeah. As you guys probably know, you succeed.
Well, humor is hard, and then Jewish humor is hard, and then yeshivish, Hasidish humor. That's all-star fate. I mean, that seems it seems impossible, but it's...
So I just want to throw that out there. Is like, it seems almost impossible.
Right. Ami's on the derech right now to become more yeshivish, so I think he'll just evolve into it, really.
Baruch Hashem, you know, we'll see what we can do. It's very good. Very good. It's mamish.
You're going to be all over the internet.
Thank God. Depends.
Did you see that character
it's not even a yontif. It's not even a yontif.
By the way, to do those impressions, it means you have to spend more time in that world.
So. Just enough. I'm very modern Orthodox. That's the kind of corner we inhabit.
Right. You're from Englewood, right?
What is very modern Orthodox?
Not so. Shout out to Elon Gold.
Teaneck is modern Orthodox, and then Englewood is very...
No, what does very modern Orthodox mean? Shomer Shabbos and kosher. You turn on a light with an elbow, you know. Rip toilet paper if you need. I don't do that. The lights, I don't. But the toilet paper
you got to rip toilet.
Toilet paper on Shabbos, God will understand.
That's fine.
I would just sign up.
What? All I'm saying is, everybody does the toilet paper. If there's not a toilet paper thing cut in half, what do you do? Walk it off on Shabbos.
Walk it off.
No one's got a mechanical bidet.
You're asking comedians to avoid the toilet.
Until there's a mechanical...
This is why Jewish comedy is so hard.
Non-electric bidet.
If we can't talk about a toilet. What can we talk about?
What does modern mean? Yeah, we go to movies. We dress semi-normal. And it's...
I'm just waiting for the YU Connect profile of very modern Orthodox.
I'm saying yeshivish, when you really discover it, there's like, if you split the atom of Orthodox Judaism, there's insane amounts of subcategories: Hasidish, Yeshivish, which Yeshivish, Torah V'das, you know, Kui, and wherever. But in modern Orthodox, there's this whole other subset, and then there's, you know, modern Orthodox Five Towns, Jersey, Teaneck, Englewood, and I think we inhabit a very specific corner of that. But what's very interesting is I heard Alex Edelman say like there's the universality in the specificity. So the more authentic we represent things, I think a lot of people respond to it, even if you're not in it.
I like that.
You like the whole podcast, Jim?
I like it.
I think that's actually what like separates us from, you know, other sketches or Jewish humor you see out there. Because as Zami was saying, it's like there's a lot of, I call milk toast Judaism, which sounds like a place that's open on Shabbos but doesn't really serve kosher food. Like, you know, it's like I call it like Manischewitz. Like your entire Judaism is Manischewitz, and that's it. And to me, it's very, like, as Zami said, like very not authentic.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Cultural Judaism.
But I think there's more to Jewish identity than just like eating certain foods of certain brands and like making almost like shout outs to like, hey, we're going to do this Jewish custom that we don't have any part of much. But like, I don't know, that our our brand is very much like, okay, this is inside baseball, but like it's going to hit and nobody really talks about
it. Like no one's done a Seum sketch before, you know, no one's done a sketch about, you know, someone from the Five Towns being part of the Perm story. No one's done a even like the one where it's telling your boss about keeping different chagim, different holidays, like that resonated with so many people. Even the people that, you know, are an affiliate or something, that resonated with them just to have that authentic look. And I think people are really...
Well, that one specifically, I think, really resonated broader than the Teaneck Moms and some of the other ones. Because even at Secular Jew, you know, they have questions also. They also take off the Yom Kippur or, you know, First Day Passover. I'm saying like that is, may not be all of it, but I'm saying that's really broadly relevant among a big cross section.
Relatability or curiosity. So sometimes you really hit people because it's super relatable and they experience it themselves. And other times you invite a certain curiosity. We had, you know, like the holiday party, yeshivish guy at the holiday party. People are like, I've definitely seen that guy at parties. I never quite got it, but I
Right.
Or like, I have to go revisit my grandmother's Yiddish because these terms are like really bringing back a lot of nostalgia for me. And the best comment I think we always get on videos is, I feel seen. I really love that one. When people say, I feel seen,
or
it means you've done something, means you've done something where, you know, we had one recently called Short Fridays in the winter where for both husbands and wives across the world in the Jewish community experiencing that Short Friday thing realizes no one's alone, everybody experiences the same thing, and every wife is crazy,
and every and every husband's like, well, I'm not, every husband's like, that's really crazy, and every wife's like, I'm not that bad. But also
that's what he just said, at least not, I'm not as bad. That's
and that, like, but the comment we saw on that, the amount of comments that say, how did you get a camera in my house, of like, this is what my life is on a Friday, that's what we're going for, and that is the specific part of the Jewish experience that we want to touch on. You know, like some people are like, your stuff is too from, our stuff is not from enough.
It just goes beyond the, everybody thinks like, oh, Jewish life and culture is so portrayed in media, but it really, only on a very surface sort of watered down level do you see like the caricatured portrayal of like, you know, if you watch it, there's a scene, I remember, like, with all due respect, but like Mrs. Maisel, one of the scenes, the father goes, it's hotter than the burning bush in here. I'm like,
I say that all the time.
I feel like,
oy, I need a matzah in this schmitz.
Why is a rabbi wearing a tallis everywhere? Just to tell it to get the rabbi.
By the way, you know, biblical rabbis do outside of the Orthodox world. They do, by the way. You know that.
Oh, yeah?
They walk into shul, and if they're doing anything ritual, they put on tallis.
I think it's almost like a way of being like, hey, this guy is a rabbi. It's a way to tell you this guy is a rabbi. Which,
but you just think you see it like, I don't know, there was another one in the movie, what is it called? The show called Hunters, where they were hunting Nazis. One rabbi comes out, looks at the guy and goes, Baruch Hashem. And you're like, what?
Like, wasn't that like Al Pacino also playing an old Jew?
He was like, hooah, good Shabbos.
Yeah.
But the point is, you're seeing a lot of these like caricatured portrayals. Bagel and Lox Judaism.
Not true to life, though. Milk Toast.
I think true to life is where you want to go. Even, and you know, don't play to people who might not know what's going on. Like, go right to it.
And also, people are edgy. There's some people that ask questions after our sketches, and we answer those questions. Like, they ask Jewish questions, and we have the opportunity. For me, it's always a key roof play, because if we could bring more Jews in, that means they could hire us for more events. So it's.
Whoa. Are you guys saying that you're actually actively doing key roof? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So
it's always an active.
But there's a lot.
Not to brag, but
this
somebody
man actively.
Not to brag, somebody did put on tefillin at our sketch today. That wasn't us, but
yeah, it's true. It's true.
The goal is funny, but if there's nice positive externalities, so be it.
But also, the same way I would say with, like, you know, TV shows or sitcoms, that some shows have a laugh track to tell you when to laugh, and I think, you know, like a show like, let's say, Modern Family doesn't have that, and I think there's a. You don't have to play down to your audience. I think if they don't get the joke, okay, it's not for them, but maybe they'll ask. And even if they don't fully get it, I think there is... I'm surprised how many people related to the Erev Shabbos thing, even if they're not, you know, Shomer Shabbos.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing you probably didn't get that kind of feedback from, like, the 9-day Seum thing, because that's really...
No.
That's inside of
baseball. But even that...
There's a lot of questions.
There's a lot of questions, like, about the meat, and you can't do this, and, you know, you can't do that, and it was educational, for sure.
A lot of machlokas in the comments.
Yeah.
But people were saying, people were asking, like, can someone explain this? Because they could tell it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And they could tell it's, like, there's something real about it.
They didn't know what it was.
And invite curiosity.
But and I also think that the angle that we're coming at as being, like, you know, three Orthodox guys, that a lot of times there is the way Jewish comedy is depicted in stand-up also, where it's like just like ripping on Judaism from a negative place, as opposed to like, no, I'm doing this and it's funny. I think it's a much healthier approach. Absolutely. To the way, and like it's much more encouraging and positive rather than just like, hey, you know what stinks? Judaism.
Done with fondness, not condescension.
Yeah, I think that's what united us as Jewish writers and creatives, is that understanding of like this kind of authenticity to bring to our Judaism, and to not kind of use it in a, as comedians like to say, in a hacky way. Like I grew up Jewish and I love money and Christian baby blood. Like, you know, we wanted to.
I just got this podcast dark. But
Sorry, just money, not Christian baby blood.
I get what you're, I definitely get what you're saying.
Actually, you talked about poop 5 minutes ago, but.
guys, we talked about universality and specificity. We're going all over the place. You actually kind of jumped ahead to where I kind of want to hear is, I'm sure it's hilarious being with you guys. Let's hear a little bit about like that process of how you guys come up with stuff. And also, actually, I want to say, you know, we'll say a shout out. Thank you very much for including the Jewish link in the 9 days. We were a big part of the of that sketch. I that was laugh out loud funny. So
you're lucky you were on the coffee table when we were writing the sketch.
No, it was a very, we had the idea.
It was,
we're like, what newspaper? We spent hours debating Jewish Link, other papers that won't even
say.
It was
like, we need a newspaper. What do we need? An article. We need,
Good Night Moon. Good Night Moon was tough, but that was a.
Here we are.
And I even appreciate the insider joke about what the article was. I think it was about tuition, if I'm not mistaken. Or was it?
Right. So I will say part of it was because we had to cover up
the original.
Because unfortunately the news was too depressing that we're just like, hey, we're going to put something over.
You know, the front page of this won't play well comedically. It was right. Dark.
Yeah,
we obviously can all infer what it's about, given all the recent
events
in our community. So we covered it up with a tuition crisis.
Yeah, I think so. Which
is hilarious.
Yeah,
the tuition crisis.
People can't get educated.
By the way, I am not going to suggest, but that is an issue for the community. Tuition, sure. Keep it in mind for the future.
It was an easier sell to put that in.
Well, yeah. I mean, the in terms of the process of what it comes up with, I think we are. Follow the calendar a bit. Ooh. Where we say, hey, this holiday's coming up, we gotta do something. We gotta give ourselves like enough time, even if it's 2 days before Purim and we're like, we're shooting a sketch, but like, you know, our schedules are our schedules. But we really keep the calendar in mind, because that's in the zeitgeist of what's the Jewish mindset right now is, all right, Purim is coming up, that's all everyone's talking about. And even like, you know, we had a thing of like for the holiday job one, for example, you know, we did it with Elon Gold, and I know it was like, we were talking about when to release it, and it was like, oh no, it's like, I think it was a discussion, it was like, let's do it earlier, and I said, no, you do it Rosh Hashanah was like that Thursday or something, I said, you do it the Sunday before, right, like, the timing is very, very... When everyone's in, like...
Ali's like, don't post till after Chatzot. He's very home on our posting.
How many chalex are...
I am the rabbi of the group.
But there's a beautiful thing about that's unique to the Orthodox Jewish experience, which is time and the seasons, and not just your summer, fall, winter, spring, but the seasons that we all find ourselves in.
Yep.
So when it comes to making social media content that's going to resonate on a massive scale, it's always very convenient that we have this sort of like holiday schedule that puts all of us in a certain mindset, whether it's Adar and Purim, Pesach, summer season, high holiday prep, post-holiday, pre-holiday. And then when it overlaps with Thanksgiving and Christmas, we're all in a certain space. So we're all experiencing a lot of these things collectively.
Yep.
And when we tap into that, it really is a good recipe for something really spreading in an organic way.
It's also like the pulse, reading the pulse of what is the global Jewish community talking about at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Just want to give you an idea, by the way. Like, you know, you talk about, you know, how I believe that an Orthodox Jew is different on Shabbos, different on Pesach. We're kind of like different people, like almost completely different. You know, maybe as a, you know, just we're just different. If you take your religion or Judaism somewhat seriously, you're a different person on any one of these holidays. You're a different person on Purim. You may not feel it as a family man, Ellie, or, you know, you guys are saying to you because you're running around with your kids, but if you're taking the holidays, taking your Judaism seriously, like, you're kind of like a quasi-different person. I'm thinking about things like, you know, like Dude Perfect does these stereotypes, rage monsters. You know, I've always thought, like, they're, you know, you have, like, you're a little philosophical, like, you know, you've heard of, like, Halach Man 1, Halach Man 2. There's these images of different people. Different. I'm just like, there's something.
Well, we did that with also like the, I mean, we released this right after Tisha B'Av, and that was like the different Tisha B'Av characters that you meet.
Yep.
Similarly to the High Holidays, mm-hmm. the Simple Pleasures of the High Holidays, you're like different people that you would meet on these things, which kind of be like, all right, there's this guy in Shul, there's this guy, so that I think encapsulates some of that.
Yeah. And in terms of our process, you were asking,
but I can only imagine. I want to hear about that process because no one ever sees that. I imagine you guys are ripping on each other all day long.
Mostly, it's a lot less clean than the final version.
Yes, it's a lot of us toning down and taking it from rated R to PG.
I sometimes
rated R to PG to G.
Right, right.
But basically, yeah, Ellie is the final.
Say
our final sifter.
I am the final. I'm like, you know what, guys? We are getting a sponsorship for this sketch. There's no way that they're going to pull the hashgacha on this.
The process of writing it away is an experience of expelling all of the dirtiest ideas we can, but only because we're kibitzing and joking around. But really, it starts with a funny premise. We should do something on that. So taking, for example, even if it's something that's not topical to holidays, but the Short Friday sketch, which was a recent one that a lot of people
saw. Or the restaurant one.
Well, yeah, there's all these different premises. We're like, oh, Short Fridays in the winter. That is a chaotic, universally felt thing. And it tickles you. You're like, that's really funny. And then you immediately start to play out in your head
scenes.
The cinematic scenes of, oh, I just imagine it's like one of those, what's the movie with Adam Sandler? Uncut Gems. Mm-hmm. Crazy anxiety. You can already see it. You can just project the whole thing.
Right.
Of what it would be. And then, okay, how do we write this out? So there's an arc. If you follow a lot of our stuff, there's an arc of setting the premise. Then you're into the meat of it, and then there's usually a button at the end.
Do you guys write it out? Do you guys actually?
Not line for line, but basically what happens is we will get together on like a Zoom call or in person and have a little session based on the premise, and then we'll start spitballing back and forth. We have a shared Google Doc of all the different ideas. Mm-hmm. And then when we get together, it's all organized by shots, like which ones are we going to do? And then in between that, some of the best moments. Like when I put the iron on my face during the scene sketch, and that's just improv.
Yeah, there's a lot of improv between the lines, but I think we work best when we have a structure, mm-hmm. a shot list, we know what we're doing, and then it's definitely a lot of improv.
We're basically curb.
In short phrases, I'm in a towel and I fall down the stairs. That's all planned, like I'm gonna fall down the stairs. I fall down the stairs.
He wanted to fall down the stairs harder, and I said, I don't have that kind of insurance.
And you guys don't have stunt doubles either.
No, not yet.
Carpeted stairs, that really was the thing that stopped it, and I had to keep the towel on, so that was hard. Once I found myself on the stairs...
You could have worn something.
He had shorts. Yeah, he borrowed my shorts.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a few seconds. But I had to go authentic for one of the shots. If you look...
Yeah, if you pause at the right time.
Look close. So I rolled down the stairs.
I rated it.
So then we were at... There's like 5 seconds at the end. Where I'm just sitting there, and then I look up at the camera and go, get me the black. And that was improv, but that's a very memorable line. But it comes out of the organic, like,
or even,
it would be funny right here. So I looked at the camera and said, get me the black. And then if we all crack up, we're like, we're keeping that.
Well, even like the restaurant one, which is the Jewish guy going to a non-kosher restaurant for like a business lunch, which I want to do a sequel of going to a kosher restaurant, or non-Jewish guys go to a kosher restaurant, which would be great. But
by the way, great.
That one's on the...
I tell you, we were all like, okay, the maitre d' is an Israeli guy. He goes,
the phone's just ringing, but the phone's just ringing the whole time.
Cat for no reason.
Yeah.
And then Shkiaf comes out. He's like, oh, we have a guy. Oh, so we have a guy who like watches all the food and keeps everything sanitary? That's amazing. And then he comes out.
Hey, Shkiaf, welcome. What are we eating?
No. That's good.
That's kosher. That's good.
You have to go with the other kind.
I would play him, and I have to get a suit of some kind, a big body suit. And just, that's why she, the Mashkiach, he keeps everything clean.
No, he blesses.
I turn the flames up.
He blesses the food, guys.
And the non-Jews, they were like, he watches the food?
Oh, it's all good.
Oh, is that why he has a C health department?
Like, oh, that's actually brought me on. Oh, my God, he freaks out. Give me that. So...
Well, also, even the restaurant one that we did of the Jewish guy going to the non-kosher restaurant, we were laughing, thinking, because the idea is like, hey, can we get you anything to eat? And it's like, no, that's fine. And he has a whole bag of stuff. And it's just like, you know, crackers, herring. And we were just thinking of what could you have in this bag that's more and more. And then we got like lettuce. And I'm like, wait, let's get a light to check for bugs. And I was like, let's get the seltzer machine, the soda stream.
Badika's Comets.
Somebody said to us, like, don't you like run out of ideas? And I was like, have you been Jewish? Like there are so many ideas. We could do 10 videos on Kiddush or 10 videos on weddings. Like, there is so much material, especially in a 90-second, 2-minute video, where we can really You mind, like you're saying, mind the specifics.
There's a music video idea for a kiddish club. You do it.
Do that.
Well, they don't know. Yes, he's getting hot at the kiddish club. Doing something unholy. Oh, we go, we go. The davening was too slow. We go, we go.
And we're going to put him in leather.
This is where we make it a little more G, by the way.
Oh,
we go, we go.
Maybe a white button.
Downscale the leather.
Conservative rabbis will have a lot of taluses. Just go.
If you're running, Ami gets booked in a lot of Lakewood gigs.
Oh, and first, Ami, you're the musical one, correct? You're the okay. You play as well, right? Okay. And I just wonder. I heard you guys are all individually. You guys are all busy. I also want to make sure we hear about like each one. I know sure. Ellie's career I've been following for a long time, mm-hmm. but I know you guys are also doing. You guys are booked for. Tell us a little about you individually. So
yeah, I mean, I've been doing comedy itself for like 9 years. I was always like the only from guy in those spaces, believe it. I mean, there's a lot of like Jews and whatnot in inter, but I was always the from guy in the spaces. I started doing stand up maybe 2.5 years ago, and I just got really lucky with like the people that I met. I have other jobs that I do, but if my boss sees this podcast, I don't have any other jobs. And I highly doubt if my boss sees the Jewish Link podcast, then I'll quit tomorrow.
Speaking of that uncut,
works for a Nazi.
Speaking of that uncut gems tension, he's just feeling that right now. He's like, I got a Zoom call in a minute, and
I'm coming from one meeting to the next, just doing a bunch of different things. But yeah, I mean, I've been doing mainly improv comedy for a long time, and then sketches and things like that. And
just, you also went to school for acting, right?
Yeah, I went to theater school for 4 years. I was doing commercials and acting, but it was very, very difficult. Like I had an agent at one point, but
parents were happy with it.
Okay. No, of course not.
Okay,
no.
just checking. Okay,
you know, law school is still an option if you want to do it.
Okay.
That'd be a funny sketch, right? Telling your parents you want to be anything other than
the main thing.
Discussing what you do at the job is
It's like, I want to be on Broadway. They're like, a banker? You want to be a banker?
I used to get a lot of this when we first got married. I'm a musician, you know. I first started in the music, on the music side of things, so I would say that, and people would be like, you know, someone's real estate, doctor, lawyer, and then they say, I do music for film, TV.
Yeah. They just don't get it.
How's that work?
Well, I moved back here from L.A. one time. I was like, I'm in a band. Someone goes, Jewish music? I'm like, no. Government? No. How's that work?
So you do comedy.
Network is code.
The refrain is like, oh, I know someone's son is an agent or something like that, but usually not on the.
Living in LA was a little different. There was a little more connective tissue to the industries. Even in the Jewish world, people were lawyers, but they were entertainment.
Right.
I came from the music world into comedy. I'd been doing music for over a decade, composing for film, TV, commercials, and then kind of going into COVID a little before then, I started making a lot of content online. TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, impressions, little sketches and collaborations with other creators, and was able to build up an audience there. And then when I moved back to New York, I started doing more stand-up on the scene, in the East Coast comedy scene, the New York comedy scene, and then also in the Jewish comedy scene is when we connected and started doing the sketch stuff, which was a really cool outlet to be able to tap into. I feel like there's just hasn't been, you know, it's uncharted territory, like the Key and Peele of Jewish comedy, being able to show that experience.
The Key and Peele, that's interesting. Okay. Not everyone knows who Key and Peele is. I know that.
But even you would say, like, Lonely Island, has more music videos, or Please Don't Destroy, those new SNL guys. Like, I think it's just a matter of short sketches that are punchy and, like, get to the point and are about a very specific experience.
Key and Peele, I had a great show for a long time at Comedy Central. I think every once in a while I see a new sketch with them, I think. But either way, they were both from the Mad TV sketch era, but they came out and had their own show for many years. And they would show a lot about like the African-American community. They're two African-Americans, so they're both biracial, but they would show a lot of that inside world.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't water it down. They would give you this authentic, whether it's two black women in church that they're portraying, you know, and they would play them authentically. They wouldn't have to explain anything. It's all implicit in what you're watching, and that's what made it so funny for all of us, whether you experience that world or not. So that was inspiring to say, like, you can just show and not tell.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, so so J-Sketch is not the be-all and end-all. You still have aspirations outside. You're still doing your
own. No, it is. For Ami, it's the be-all and end-all.
It's all just a piece for us to. No, I think there's the collective.
The sky's the limit with this thing.
But each of us, you know, when you're in the entertainment business, everyone is solopreneur and entrepreneur, creative entrepreneur. So you do, you know, you don't have like monogamous relationships. You do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I see how it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm in a band.
Is that how you tell us?
I'm in a band that preceded this, and we're still active, and I do my own solo stand-up, my own solo content. And then the combination of this lends itself to this other lane. You know, it's like you're basically running several different small businesses, and it's very entrepreneurial. So a lot of people, I think, like to say, like, oh, so what are you going to be? You have to pick this one lane. Are you? So is Jay Sketch the thing? Is stand-up the thing? I mean, they're all the thing.
I understand that, but you want something to be a hit. You want something to be a home run or a double or a triple. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
you're looking for...
I think it's doing multiple projects at once at the same time. Meaning, even if we're doing all these sketches and it's great, I'm still also doing stand-up, you know, on my own or with the other guys. You know, we're doing a show at the Debonair next week on the 27th, you know, all three of us. And
Teaneck, New Jersey, Debonair, April 27th.
Yep. Have you heard of Teaneck?
No. Pizza will be served.
And then me and... me and Mikey did a show together in what's it called, in Boca last week with Danny LaBelle.
What? Yeah. In other words,
we were going to tell you. We didn't want to find out.
When you're creatively pouring things out, the water goes and it lands in different places. So you hope it makes impact along the way. Sometimes it's in this Jewish part of the world and this part of the community, and then there's other things, but it's really just about outbreak.
Right, I know for Elliot that most of this has really been about just making sure he gets a Pesach place, a gopher Pesach every year. That's really what this whole thing is about. I mean, I don't know if that's fair, but have you guys also had your Pesach dreams or realized?
Pesach is the Tonight Show for Jews. Like, if you get on a Pesach program, that's Letterman.
Tonight Show had about 200 kids in the front row running around, and the owners of the Tonight Show weren't even there.
I'm booked.
I'm booked.
It's late on me. You got to get it together. So okay.
No, but I think there is.
Don't worry about it.
I think there is. Also, we've all got our different talents, and Mikey's really a social media maven, and Ami's done all the editing and impressions, and also the Israel advocacy, and I'm me, and everybody.
Great
but everybody's got their things, and I like collaborating with every Jewish comedian or non-Jewish comedian. I like writing jokes and helping punch up jokes, and if I could be in a writer's room and help, hey, this was really dry, can we something I helped with was years ago, there was a Purim story Zoom thing that Elon Gold helped me help write with, and it was so much fun. So there's a lot of different projects that we could all keep doing.
Pesach can be a bit of a hell gig. You got to be careful with those. I mean, they're fun and it's great to entertain the community, but when you walk into a Pesach program, people have not come to the club to see you. You have come to see them. So they go, they're full, they're bloated, and they say, okay, what's this? Let's see what's happening. Is he good? No, let's see. And that's a tough situation because they can go any which way. They can go see the mentalist, they can go eat, but they just want to go keep eating.
But they want to laugh, though.
They want to be challenged to laugh. Want to say, I see this guy's a comedian. My nephew does it. He's better than the schmuck.
But Modi says that best. He's like, with Jews, with other audiences, it's like, make me laugh. And with Jews, it's like, make me laugh. You know, it's like a competition.
I also don't like a Pesach program is not when they book entertainment. It depends on how many Chol Moed nights there are. But they book entertainment. They're not necessarily doing
this year, by the way.
Huh? Yeah, not a great year this year, but it's okay. But they're not only looking for comedy. Pesach programs are looking to entertain. They're looking to entertain their guests the same way you're looking to take your kids on a Chol Moed trip. Yeah. You're just like, where are we going? It doesn't matter. Is it the Crayola factory? Okay, fine. We got a comedian. I don't know. We got a mentalist. We got a guy. We got a monkey. You could say kiddish. I don't know, but we just got to entertain the Jews for an hour and a half.
This is a little bit, but you know,
no.
I mean, the good, best thing you can do with comedy in a lot of ways is go into any situation, any room, and overcome it, you know, and get through it. And so it's nice to be able to do gigs where everybody's generous and gracious, and it's sort of like smooth. But when you can go into a situation that's hostile or challenging and come out,
makes you a better comedian, for sure.
As much as I'm saying they're not looking for comedy, whatever. But I still, I've said this, that every show is an audition. And, I did Pesach last year in Atlanta, and I think, thank God, I got, a few gigs from it because I was a Friday night after a three-day yenta performing without a mic. Jews literally had nothing to do but eat and go to my show. So, thank God. I mean, there was a sea of 200 kids surrounding me.
Heckling and things
Yeah, pretty much. But that was only the kids. But
that's how a lot of Jewish programs pay me, by the way. They say we're paying you in exposure to the community and getting more gigs.
Yeah.
So take off a couple grand off your price.
Really?
All this. You have to. I always start with a number that I know that it's always like a follow up call. Like, okay, so what's the discount? Like, it's very.
They say we're a nonprofit. So am I.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I have a question. Do you guys have agents? Do you guys need agents? Are there agents for guys like you?
It's a very specific.
Does Jay Sketch need like a manager or a talent guy?
That'd be nice.
I think yeah, right. Well, I think for having own representation sometimes, I mean, I do my own representation. I think it's a tricky situation sometimes, but also because you just get a little bit more respect when you have a third person. Hello, this is the answering the phone for this person. That I think that's a little bit then like, so are you available on Tuesday the 17th or not? Like, come on,
right?
You know,
you just need like
you guys don't need like an Ari Gold. You don't need like an entourage.
I would love an Ari Gold. If you have an Ari Gold,
we got Young Israel on the phone for the 14th. I don't know if you do for that.
Boy.
Well, I'm
I'm
actually going to accuse you guys of something. If you're saying that, you're actually not thinking big enough. I'm being serious. Yeah. I mean, why don't you? I mean, I'll be honest with you.
We're a year in.
Yeah.
To be honest, it's as much bandwidth as we have. Yeah, we would love to have someone who said, "Hey, this." You know, company or this wants to sponsor and say, hey, we're going to do this or we want this video on this topic.
Right.
And, you know, we're all doing that, our own, like, kind of sales development, business development and sketch meetings. But sure, yeah, we're open to it, but we're just kind of also figuring out what is this thing.
My view of all kind of representation is that you'll know when you need it. People bring on representation all the time thinking it will change the game for them. But oftentimes managers or agents will expand upon or manage what you already have created for yourself. So I agree that it can help.
You did live in LA.
I'm not limiting my vision, but I'm very aware that when you bring people into a team that take percentages of your, of the whatever you're bringing in, whether an income and time and resources, you put on this expectation that they're going to change the game. I would say you change the game. You are the momentum, and if you need assistance in that effort to help manage that and help bring in opportunities, that's when you'll know. And usually people will start reaching out to you.
I want 10% of all the sushi you get.
right.
So when there's like a lot of brands to manage and then we're asking to do videos with us, and then we want to see, okay, maybe we could use some extra eyes on this, extra insight. That's when that kind of stuff comes.
He can do the Sheva Brachas, but he needs a stake at T-Fusion.
at a one-off basis, I've worked with certain people to help, like, can you handle the rest of this conversation and negotiation? If they're interested, great. So those kind of things have been happening. But at the end of the day, I think for a lot of creatives, they're like, I got this manager now, that's going to change things. I think more often than not, you're the one driving the boat, and the manager is assisting on all the things that can make you more efficient, more productive, and busier.
I've also had conversations with, like, you know, some, you know, agents, managers, and it's a lot of hurry up and wait, where you're like, all right, we have a gig 2027 on the moon. It's a bar mitzvah. They don't know what they can do. Their budget is this. Can you do it? And I'm like, sure. And then you're like, and then you find out, and you're like, is this happening? Like, no. They went with a guy who makes a sushi charcuterie board while singing.
She can't compete with that.
I mean, honestly, you guys can't compete with that.
Yeah, true.
Absolutely. Okay, so just a little more serious. I have two more questions for you guys, which is post October 7th. I actually think Jay Sketch is needed more than ever. People were looking for reasons to laugh. You know, I just want to know. I mean, obviously, I know you did the Teaneck Moms. You know the donation sketch. Are you? You know, I don't know what the perm sketch is like, but I want to know, are you going to go back to the October 7th or the war that's going on in Israel? Has it changed? The answer may be no. Has it changed how you guys are looking at comedy in any way or not?
I would love to. I think comedy is the best method to educate, especially online and everything, because there's already so much of these like facts videos, which are great, but it's not at this point, people's narratives are driven, right? So I think,
well, even him, Mike, I mean, I'm going to tout his praises, because he was in a viral video that wasn't Jay Sketch of of, you know, handing out clipboards and saying, "Hey, what was the?"
I have a petition, and I say, "Well, you."
That was a great video.
Yeah.
Okay, and just so you should know, we're in a community right now, which we're seeing even more of these hate protests. So right. I'm sure you guys all know about what happened. These were real estate expos. One canceled the Flatbush. I mean, I don't know. There's not much to laugh at.
Well, the great irony there is, hey, pro-Palestinian protesters going to Romer in Teaneck. Do you think by going to Jewish communities and intimidating them, you're going to make them want to go to Israel more or less? Move from this country more or less? It's pretty ironic and self-defeating because they're literally going there, creating a very hostile environment in their native country for Jews who are purchasing real estate in Israel, which they have every right to do, and making them feel less safe in America is probably not the best thing that they want. But the point is, on the humor side of things, I mean, we go where the funny is. We have this idea about how Hamas protesters and pro-Palestinian protesters kind of ruin everything.
Everything fun.
So, like, showing up at a JCC Israeli dance class and protesting because it's Zionist.
baseball literally games.
Games. It's a bar mitzvah. And it's like, all right, the father's, whatever. The mom's Israeli Zionist. So, like, there's different.
But even as scary and serious as the world is right now and has been since October, there is funny in everything. You just have to find, A, the right target and find the right way to, post October 7th, we were like, we had plans for certain sketches and we're like, all right, we can't do anything for a while because this is too raw. And then we said, we got to touch on this war situation in an adjacent way that's talking about like packing supplies to Israel. Every shul was sending supplies to Israel. So we were like, this is the. And that one, I think, was even before the Shabbos thing, everyone, that was really, accurate. I think there are moments of each of these things that we could, I love the idea of, my father-in-law told me a story how, a friend of his was in Israel over Sukkot, and they left a little bit after, and while they were at the airport, a siren went off of the rocket. They had to go in the underground shelter in, at Ben Gurion, and my father-in-law said, "So, Nu, did you find my suitcase that they lost 5 years ago?" I thought of an immediate sketch of they go to the underground shelter at Ben Gurion, and there's one security guy at Ben Gurion who was in the bathroom at the time, and all of a sudden he walks out and he sees all these suitcases that are just completely abandoned, and he's just like, "Klevitz Kashut, Klevitz Kashut, Klevitz Kashut, Klevitz Kashut." So, like, to me, there's.
Please do not leave your bag unattended.
Right. You have. There are moments. There are moments of every. There are so many moments in the serious that you could parse out and say. And again, the amount of. Even setting supply sketch, the amount of people that said, "This is the first time I laughed since October." Like, there is a power also doing it in the serious time, like you said.
And I'll be controversial a little bit, but like when you're fighting a culture of death and destruction, like there's nothing more emblematic of celebrating life than laughter and being able to laugh and poke fun at the absurdities and even at the trauma and tragedy. I mean, Jews get through that by laughing. We're sort of in our DNA. And I think being able to laugh at the trauma, given the right amount of time after, like, there's an appropriate place for that and almost a medicinal healing quality to it that's necessary in order for us to process, everything that's been going on.
Yeah, I agree with that. I love that sentiment, and I think you're right. And that's great. I'm trying to think of anything else to add.
I mean, last year we did the Celebrate Israel Parade sketch, which I was thinking, how would we do it this year? Because if we would do a sequel of some kind, we would have to be very sensitive about it. But there are moments where, like, even in that sketch, we're like, look at those Nature Karta guys. You got to admire the calligraphy, the arts and crafts. They really are committed. There's only 12 guys, and they go to every event. It's really, they're awful people, but they're really committed to their cause. And so, like, again, there's moments you could parse.
I'm surprised that no one's asked you guys to be, like, on a float or doing, like, or even, like, speaking out as you go down the...
That'd be a funny little, just the J-sketch quote in different costumes. Like, I'll wave, like, Jersey Mom clothes and just wave. Send it!
Said you just it! Yelling, send it, to, like, who is that guy? You know that video? You know that video that Ema sent in the WhatsApp group? Oh, yeah, that's the guy?
Yeah.
What's the...
All of us, me and Dragon.
I heard
he's waving.
I heard he does Jewish.
You've always wanted to do Dragon a parade. Is the excuse you needed?
Yeah, is this the Pride Parade?
Nice. They're there for every parade.
Jewish parade. We had a funny idea to do that.
That's
you're right. We're the gift that keeps on giving. There really is. There literally is no.
There is no end. And the Jewish people are getting through this. This isn't the hard. As hard as this may feel like the hardest time right now for our generation, Jews have been through a lot in our whole experience, and they've been making jokes for as long as we've been around. So as for Purim, I think during the Megillah reading, Purim is like, could things get more depressing? I'm sure there are people being like my idea for an initial Purim joke was like, we only know Shushan's perspective from the Megillah.
Right.
All of a sudden, you get a letter that says, hey, everyone should kill Jews on, the 13th of Adar. And then all of a sudden,
Jews
imagine you're in, Seattle, and it's just like, hey, did you get this email? And then it's like, did you get this email? We're supposed to kill Jews. And then it's like, nope, never mind. And, Jews are allowed to fight back. Like, that's, a funny idea. Right. So,
yeah.
I don't
know. I can see Ambi doesn't love it. Can I pump? I know we're going to try to release.
I like that you like it. Yeah.
We're going to try to release it. Don't worry, we're going to try to release it before Purim. Can I pump you guys for any hints or snippets at the Purim video? Or it'll probably be coming out the same time as yours when you guys are coming out. Anything?
We're going to be reposting the one from last year because we actually didn't have a J Sketch Instagram set up yet. So that'll be, you'll get two for one this year.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Okay, good.
Two sketches coming for Purim. Yeah.
Okay, so
we have some guests. We have some talented guest in one of them. We'd like to feature other Jewish.
Well, may or may not have put on tefillin today.
Yeah. So we've done it with the one with Elon Gold. We also have a whole range of cast members of other Jewish creators and comedians that we hope to work with in the future.
And it's also, people have people have said, oh, we should have more, have more women involved. I'm like, we would love to if people were around the Bergen County area between 12 and 2 on a random Tuesday.
If there were funny women, we would.
Right. That's code.
You should clip that, and say, listen, they don't wear tefillin, Orthodox women,
Sometimes it's funnier with me and drag, but we're always open to funny female.
Well, that's what I also said. If you could find someone who's...
If I'm playing the lady, it's like something, there's an added comedy to that, but there's plenty of comedians. So just be patient, everybody, and stop with the comments.
Wow, it'd be nice to see a woman comedian.
Do you not know any women? Do you know they exist, right?
Well, for the mikvah video, don't worry. We're casting.
That does not sound good, but
we're trying to give your editors as tough a job as we can.
That's all right. We can handle it. Okay, good.
I couldn't resist.
Guys, we're coming to the end. I just want to say, just keep fighting, keep producing, keep laughing, keep making us laugh. I was going to maybe ask a question, where do you see Jay Sketch in a year from now? But I think you guys actually have no clue where you're going to be in a year from now.
Well, instead of also...
anywhere in Florida,
next year,
wherever we want to go, freebies for life.
Next year, our three agents will be doing the podcast, actually, instead of us. So, but yeah, I think also on Instagram, what's basically where we get the word out, right? And mostly, or all over.
Yeah, listen, yeah. If you you stay in touch on all the latest sketches at Jay Sketch Comedy on Instagram and all of our individual accounts, I'm at Ami Kozek Official.
At Ellie Comedyagram, terrible, I know. But
at Jewish Vibes.
At Jewish Vibes, and there'll be more guests and more future sketches, and we'll just keep them coming.
Okay, and also I'll just announce here that we hope to actually do another Jewish Link themed sketch at some point in the future when I get my act together. And subject to be revealed in a future time. So
I'm not sure when this airs, but we are having a Jay Sketch Comedy live stand-up show.
March 27th at the Debonair, right across from here.
Yeah.
And
to add to it, in addition to sketches, we really hope to keep building up a local kind of comedy of the suburbs. There's oftentimes people going to the city for entertainment, and we are excited to be bringing more activity here in the form of community shows and entertainment.
We need better venues for you guys. That's what I have to. We need a little bit bigger. You guys can fill these places.
Well, Bergen Pack. Next year, we'll be sitting here. Maybe at the
plugging Bergen Pack. Sure.
Yeah. I thought the goal was actually like Romer, the bigger shuls. So, but BD Pack sounds.
That depends how the sushi.
I don't want to attract protesters.
All right, that's good. Thank you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for being with us on the Jewish Link Pitch Meeting podcast. If you would like to participate or be in touch with us in any way, please email us at editor@jewishlink.news and follow us and find our podcast wherever you find podcasts.